Hi, my name is Larry Price. I'm the baseball coach for the American Legion Boise Gems and also the Timberline High School Wolves here located in Boise, Idaho. In these 12 years of coaching, I've been fortunate enough to be able to be the coach for 12 state championships, whether it's American Legion or high school. I've also been inducted into Idaho High School Hall of Fame for baseball coaching in 1999 at the age of 35. I've been scouting for the Boston Red Sox for the last 6 years, and I've received 9 Coaches of the Year awards in my time of coaching, and also have been able to assist over 60 kids going to the next level receiving college scholarships. In this video, I want to take you through a series of common faults that the hitters do and how to correct them specifically to add success to the hitter. Hitting a baseball is arguably the hardest thing to do in sports. A pitcher that throws possibly 90 miles an hour will only give the batter a 28th hundredth of a second chance to either decide to hit it, swing, or let it go for a ball. So in this time, we've got to make the best mechanical adjustments for our hitters to succeed. It's a tough thing to do, and there's a lot of drills that we can do to correct specific faults. We're going to work on uppercutting or dipping, and this is when a person will get ready to swing at a ball and they're going to drop their back shoulder and have their barrel head drop below their hands to hit. Normally they'll be a fly ball pop-up hitter and they won't have much success because, again, they're trying to hit a round ball with a round ball bat and hit it on a line. So as you can see, he's really dipped his back shoulder, his barrel head has gone below his hands, and we want to correct that. I have 3 drills that I want to show you on best ways, I think, to correct this dipping and uppercutting problem. Our first drill that we'll do to help prevent uppercutting is the one knee drill. Ryan here is going to get on his back knee and I'm going to feed him soft toss pitches. The reason why we do this is, as you can see, if he was to uppercut from this position, he will most likely fall over and lose his balance. So this forces the hitter to go in a downward flight to the ball, and we can do this with a lot of soft toss repetition to hopefully correct it and make it a muscle memory pattern to alleviate uppercutting or dipping. This is the one knee drill. And now I'll show you what happens if he dips in this drill when I toss it to him. Our next drill is the hammer drill. This is, again, to create good proper hand action down to the ball. Again, we're trying to cut it down rather, and like we're chopping a tree, instead of letting the barrel head drop below the hands. What Ryan is going to do here is probably take about 5 to 10 balls with his top hand only on the bat. And if you notice where he's hitting the ball, he's going to hit it directly into the ground. We are not going to attempt to hit it into the screen. We're emphasizing the hands coming down to hit, not up. Last one. Now we'll take it to the bottom hand. Going straight down in the ground. We're not trying to hit a line drive or fly here. We're working on a downward flight to the ball. This is the hammer because we're hammering it into the ground. Now we'll put both hands on the bat, same position of where we're wanting to make contact, down into the ground. If you notice his swing, he is going in a downward flight to the ball and alleviating uppercutting. Another great drill for fixing uppercutting and dipping is to use a chair in front of the tee for the hitter. What we're trying to accomplish here is to have the hitter come in a downward flight to hit the ball without hitting the chair. Now, they don't want to hit the chair, so they're going to make sure they're going downward rather than letting the barrel head drop. If he was to let the barrel head drop right now, you could see on the chair, he would hit the chair way before he'd ever get to the ball. Okay, but now in slow motion, we'll take a direct flight with our hands going down like we were trying to get in the hammer. And now we have a correct swing, hopefully getting backspin off the ball, and we're going to have more success hitting the pitcher. So that we call this the tee chair drill. Notice his back shoulder, there's no dip. His hands are going in a downward flight like we did in hammer and the one knee drill. These 3 drills can, if done enough repetition, can really help a swinger that likes to have an uppercut, and one thing especially, fly out with this elbow upward in an upward flight. This forces him to drive this elbow down to get the hands in a position to hit properly. Take one more. Stepping out or flying out are other terms that are causing hitting common faults. And what I mean by these two, the stepping out is when the hitter is ready to hit, their first reaction with their stride foot is an outward position. This puts the hitter at a disadvantage, being able to have cover the rest of the plate from the middle to the outside part of the plate. Or the flying out of the shoulder and the head. And that means when he goes to swing, his first reaction is his head and his shoulder flying out and not being able to get good coverage on the outside pitches. One of the first drill or things I would want to talk about to correct this is your stride foot. When our stride foot lands, we want to make sure that we're staying semi-closed. That will keep the head and the shoulder in longer to hit the away pitch or the middle pitch. So when I stride to hit this, I'm going to keep this foot and I'm going to isolate this foot in a closed stride position. Often too many times when a person goes up to hit, their foot, right when they start to swing, before they swing, they're opening up and pointing their toes at the pitcher. If you notice when I do that, everything goes with it. My elbow, my lead elbow, and my shoulder. So what I want to do is try to correct a hitter that has a problem flying out, making sure, watching their front foot, where they land when they stride. And a quick fix is having them stay close with that front foot to alleviate the shoulder, elbow, and head. Then we're going to do some drill-specific things to accomplish this. The first drill we want to accomplish to avoid the flying out is using a ping pong paddle. When we use this ping pong paddle, what we're trying to accomplish is keeping his front elbow and shoulder locked into the hitting zone and then making contact with the wiffle ball on the ping pong paddle forward. As you notice, if he was to fly out and do this, he would lose complete coverage and not be able to hit a ball in this area whatsoever. So we'll show you the correct way and then what happens if he flies out. This forces his head down on the ball, his shoulder and elbow. And it's simply done with a ping pong paddle with your front arm or your bottom hand on the baseball bat. One more. Now we're going to demonstrate the hitting fault. He's going to either fly out with his shoulder, lead arm, or his head. He will not be able to make contact with the wiffle ball when he does this. If you have a player, when you do this drill, not be able to make contact, here is our fix, because you can see what he's doing. I'm going to specifically say, Ryan, keep your shoulder and elbow in on the ball this time and don't let it fly out. And if he holds on and waits, he should be able to make contact every time. So here's a quick fix for the person that flies out. Another drill we like to do in this is just using the baseballs and working with the soft toss. I'm going to feed him soft toss. Ryan's going to get his baseball bat, and we're going to work on the outside pitch. Oftentimes, this is the weakness for hitters if they fly out or their head jumps or they step out. So this is going to force him to make sure he waits for the ball to get to him, he keeps his shoulder in, and he keeps his head on the ball. So when I feed him, I'm going to feed him in this position right here where he's hitting it to the opposite field. Okay, and notice where his shoulder and his elbow is to be able to hit that. Now if he flew out, look where his bat and everything would go, and here's the ball. That's what happens when we fly out. I'm throwing outside pitches of soft toss. Do one more of these. Instead of using the soft toss method, we can also work with the tee, where you've set the tee to an outside pitch, and what Ryan now has to do is drive the ball to right field. This is impossible to do if his head or shoulder flies out. Notice his stride foot staying closed when he approaches the ball. Two more. Last one. The next thing we want to get into is if you have a hitter that has a tendency to have their head go forward to hit, or they're not using their back side of their hips and quad muscles and their lower body to hit the baseball. What we want to do here, we call these head jumpers or no backside hitters. We're going to accomplish some drills because if we're trying to hit a baseball and if our head is going forward to hit, we're losing our lower body power. So what we want to try to do is isolate the head and keep it still so when we stride, we're not going forward. And also, when we go to swing the bat and get our hands ready to hit, we're going to create a strong backside. Some people say squash the bug. I'd like people to teach and concentrate on making sure they're just driving that back leg into the ball and we're getting a rotation off our back foot. If we don't do these things, if we just hit with our arms and no back hip, that's all the strength we have to hit the baseball. If we jump our head forward, not only are we losing our backside, but we're also making the fastball look faster. Off-speed pitches break more because our head's moving. We want to keep our head as still as possible. So we're going to incorporate these two hitting faults into some drills that I think would be specific to fix and make your team a better successful hitting team. This first soft toss drill is just called attack. What we're going to do is we're going to try to keep the head back and we're going to explode the hips. So I'm going to feed him a slow looping soft toss pitch and he's going to yell attack when at the last possible second he can explode everything into the ball. If he's out early, we're going to either be jumping forward or we're not using much of our backside. So he'll say attack at the last possible second and then explode.
Attack. Attack.
A good point for coaches to teach with their hitters is if they're in hitting live or something, you can actually have them swing. And what I would do here is when the hitter goes ahead and swings, if his head's jumping, go ahead and get in the hitting. And if he jumps, then I'll tell him to freeze after he's swung. So swing. Now, I'll show him how far his head had moved over a foot, making the fastball faster and the curveball break more. So now, the next swing, I want him to stay in line with my hand when he swings, and let's see where he is. Now he sees the ball better, and his backside is being used with more power. Do a couple more of these. One more. This next drill is made to keep the hands back, the head back, the backside involved in the swing, because if they don't, I could change what I call on this, and then they will have nothing left to hit the ball. The object of this is using a tennis ball, and we call this our fastball curveball bounce. What I'm going to do in a moment is just drop the tennis ball directly down. I don't want to give it a shoving action, because it could be going off in a direction. Ryan's objective is to listen to what I call. If I call fastball, and when I let it go, and it bounces on its way up, he wants to hit it before it gets to the top of its apex. If I call curveball, he's going to let it hit, go up to the top, and then come back down. So this forces the hitter on a curveball. If he jumps to hit the fastball, and all of a sudden it's a curveball, and if he's already going forward, he's going to have not much success on hitting this ball. I call out the pitch, fastball or curveball, right when I'm dropping the ball, so the hitter doesn't have time to load and stop, slow down for the curveball. And it's done like this. Fastball. Curveball. Notice on the curveball, he's got to let it go up and then back down. Differential in timing, just like a fastball curveball from a pitcher. Now, he won't know what I'm calling until right before I drop the ball. Curveball. Curveball. Fastball. A little bit quicker on that one. Fastball. Curveball. Fastball. This is the drill to make sure that the batter is staying back and is ready to hit either pitch. Oftentimes, where the head's jumping or the no backside comes into play is on the off-speed pitch because they're jumping at the ball and having too much movement, alleviating their lower body. So this is a simple drill done with tennis balls, fastball, curveball, bounce. No stride soft toss or no stride tee work or no stride batting cage work is what we're trying to accomplish here is to alleviate the stride so the hitters can concentrate on those faults of no backside or head jumping. If they don't stride, their head will have a tendency to stay still. And also, they'll create a more of a conducive atmosphere to want to use their backside. So a lot of times, if we got guys jumping out on their front foot, we'll go ahead and in batting practice times and cage work time, work without taking strides. So Ryan will demonstrate no stride soft toss. Just rotating the backside, and keeping the head still. Notice the front foot is not going forward at all with the stride. As you can see, you can notice that back quadricep going right into the ball, squashing the bug. And I'm going to have Ryan show you a swing without any backside help. This is going to be just an arm swing where there's no rotation on the backside. As you can see, he can make contact here, but he is not putting much bat speed into the ball. So we'll go back to our regular form, backside into the ball. This next drill, what we're going to do here is go to a slow motion progression just to get the muscle memory and the repetition down right. What we call this is stride, backside, hands. As the soft toss feeder, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the batter stride, backside, commit the backside, and then hands, swing the bat. Let's take you through that one more time. Stride, backside, and then hands. Notice the hands have not gone forward until after he's committed his backside to the ball. When I say hands, that is when I will flip in the ball for a soft toss position. All right, here we go. Stride, backside, hands. Stride, backside, hands. Stride, backside, hands. Stride, backside, hands. What we've done there is taken on a slow, progressive measure, muscle memory. We do this 100 times with this guy. He's getting that stride down, his backside, knowing how important that is, keeping his hands back, not coming out in front and forward. This next drill is done with the medicine ball. This is for the stride, backside, hands, but we're also doing this to develop more strength in our hips and our thrust to the ball. This is done with a 15 to 16 pound medicine ball. Again, you can vary it lower or heavier depending on what you want to do. Ryan is going to go through this motion and I'm just going to catch it and give it back to him, and he's just working with the 15, 16 pound medicine ball to develop more strength and to do the drills. Stride, backside, hands. Stride, backside, hands. Stride, backside, hands. Another drill that we can do is for good hip strengthening is a figure eight back-to-back drill. What we're going to do in this is we'll stand back-to-back. We're going to give ourselves about a foot or two, and now I'm going to bring this wet medicine ball over to his other side. You're going to rotate the other side, and now we're just doing a figure eight. He's going to wrap it around his body, and I come to this side. We're doing hip rotation strengtheners, and with a 15 or 16 pound ball, this can be quite the workout. That is with the medicine ball. Another common fault in hitting is tracking, and this is something that sometimes is hard to pick up. What we're going to try to accomplish here is give you a few drills to help the hitter identify pitches and do other specific drills to be able to see the ball quickly and make success on whether to swing on a ball or a strike. Now, the first drill that we're going to do here is actually with a pinot bean. What I'm going to do is, from about 15 feet or less, toss pinot beans to my batter, which is Ryan. He's going to attempt to hit a little object. What we're doing on this drill is for eyesight, to pick up a tiny thing and to be able to find it and hit it. If we can hit a pinot bean, hopefully a baseball will look the size of a watermelon and we'll be able to have more success hitting the baseball. It's important on this, when the pitcher throws it, to either have sunglasses on or look down so you're not going to be hit in the eye with the tiny object. Two more. Last one. The next thing we like to do is what we call the release point drill. We're going to work on having them address the release point area and identify what pitch is coming. And this is just a good tracking drill to do. What we do here is we're going to make sure we'll have the hitters in their stance. I'm going to be pretending like a pitcher, and they're going to be looking for the window of release point. Okay, and I'm going to go through a motion, and I might come up and show my hands with the number 1, 2, 3, 4, or maybe all 5. Or I will show the ball in a fastball, either 4-seam, 2-seam, curveball position, maybe change up, maybe even go into the split finger. And they will identify in the hitting position what they're going to, and they'll call out either 1, 2, 3, 4, fastball, curveball, changeup, splitty. And it's a drill just to have them recognize ball out of the hand immediately out of the pitcher.
What?
And now I'm going to use the baseball, fastball, curveball, those things. Okay?
Curveball. Fastball. Change. Splitting.
The colored ball drill is done to keep the hitter's head in the hitting zone at contact time. Oftentimes the tracking problem will start with the head flying out, not being able to see the ball. So this drill is specific. What we're doing here is I've colored this baseball 4 different colors. There's green, blue, black, and orange. When I feed this ball to the hitter, I'm not going to have it go end over end where it's going to be difficult to see the color. His objective when he hits the ball is to call out the color at contact. So the last color he sees hitting the bat is what the color he's going to call. Now this won't work if a guy's colorblind, but we want to make sure we give a good toss so it's easy for the hitter to identify. When the ball comes in, get ready for contact, he's going to be able to see it coming in, and right here he would call green because he hit the green color of the ball with the contact of the swing. His head has to stay on the ball for tracking, and he has to be able to identify the color.
Blue.
That was blue.
Green.
Green.
Black.
If you notice where his head is on all these swings, he's tracking the ball all the way into the hitting zone.
Red. Red.
He's going to take a swing now, and if he has a head flying out, he will not be able to identify the color. What color was it, Ryan?
Don't know.
Don't know. Okay, here we go. Back to the normal. Head staying on the ball.
Blue.
Opposite field hitting is another fault of some hitters where they cannot take the ball to the opposite field. We're going to do a drill that's called hit or get hit. The objective of this drill is for the hitter to let the ball get deep to him and then swing. When we're trying to hit the ball to opposite field, we want the ball to let the ball travel almost to where the ball is going to go into the catcher's mitt with our mentality and then take it to the opposite field. If we go out early and try to hit it, it's going to be difficult to have success hitting it to the opposite field. So we want the hitter to let the ball get deep. We want the ball, basically they're going to try to hit it out of the catcher's glove and swing. Now in this drill, I'm going to be throwing from the camera area right towards Ryan's belly button or belt area. Now he's going to either hit it by staying back and have success or get hit by not staying back and jumping forward, because it'll be awfully hard for him to go forward and then try to hit. It's going to force him to stay back, let the ball get deeper, and hit it in here rather than trying to hit it with his hands way out in front. This is a great drill to teach guys that have a hard time doing the hit and run, hitting a ball to the opposite field. Ryan's doing a great job of letting the ball get deep. Notice it hit him. So he wants to stay back, stay patient, let the ball get into the catcher's glove mentality. This is a very difficult thing to do. This will take players several rounds of repetitions to do this successfully. Obviously, we're going to use tennis balls or wiffle balls so we don't have injury to our hitters. Last one. A slow bat is another common fault in baseball. What we're going to do here is show you a couple drills. First of one being, we're in the batting cage and I'm going to throw what I call hard toss. I'm going to throw the ball at a short distance, fairly hard, and the hitter's going to have to improve his reaction time and his hips, his hands, and everything to be quicker to be able to hit the ball. We do this fairly often, especially if we know we're going to go up against a hard throwing pitcher, to help create quicker hands, hips, and reaction time to the ball. So right now I'm going to take Ryan through about 10 swings of hard toss from a short distance, and having him work his hips and hands quicker than he would normally do to hit a pitch ball. Two more. We call this drill hard toss. Another slow bat enhancer to make it quicker is the weighted bat swing. This is probably done best during the off season, way early in the preseason, up getting ready for the season to start. I recommend a weight plate, starting off at maybe 2.5 or 5 pounds. This is a 10-pound weight, and we want you to progress slowly. And what I have you doing here is putting the weight on like it's a donut that you use for hitting, and we're just working on just an easy, nice, fluid swing with the weight, eventually leading up to maybe 5 pounds, if possible, or even 10, throughout the preseason to add strength and quickness to your bat. So Ryan's going to come in and just demonstrate just a few swings. Again, we're not trying to swing hard here. We're just getting the swing intact, muscle memory, and also strength training through weights. Now this would be probably one of the higher stages using a 10-pound weight. Again, starting off at a 2.5-pounder for a couple days or weeks, maybe someday jump up to the 5-pounder, and then maybe one day get up to the 10-pounder, depending on your strength. This will be a great strength trainer throughout the preseason. The last drill that we're going to do here on the slow bat is isometric drills. Isometric drills, we're going to do these without movement. We're isolating specific muscles in the body and strengthening them to hopefully help receive a quicker bat. Ryan's going to work on a certain few drills that will take him through an isometric training. Okay, again, isometric drills are isolating specific muscles during the hitting phase. Ryan's going to demonstrate hitting an inside pitch, down the middle pitch, and then opposite field pitch by moving his feet accordingly. This first pitch, we're going to do an isometric drill on the fence for an inside pitch. Obviously, he's going to get the bat out in front of him, and he's going to be able to turn it. Now what he's doing is doing a push-pull action with his hands, putting as much force on this pull with the bat, isolating his triceps, back muscles, and forearms that he uses during the swing. Okay, now he's going to come back, take a little break. Now we're going to work on the pitch down the middle. Same point of emphasis. Forearms are going, pushing as hard as he can, working the triceps and the back muscles into the swing at a pitch down the middle. Now he's going to come back. He's going to move a little bit more forward. Now we're working on the opposite field contact. We're isolating different muscles every time we do this. These are three isometric hitting drills that you could do by just finding a pole and having a bat. Good strength gainers, because you're doing the exact motion where you would be at contact hitting a baseball, using all the muscles as hard as you can, forcing them to do a great isometric drill. The next fault we want to correct is the hands. Oftentimes hitters get their hands in the wrong position at contact, which will produce more ground balls or pop-ups than they want. What we're going to try to get to a point of is palm up, palm down. What I mean by that is at contact, when I'm ready to swing, I have one palm up to the sky and one palm down to the ground, and I'm or a push-pull type situation. Oftentimes hitters get in a tendency to have palms going in a diagonal direction or the top hand coming over too soon. And what happens if we are not in a palm up, palm down, or push-pull position? If we go diagonally, watch the level of my bat. This often will lead to a bad swing, uppercutting, dropping the barrel below the hands just because of the positioning of my hands at contact. Or if I get too much of a top hand swing, I'm going to be more of a tomahawk swinger. So what I'm going to do here is we will do a T challenge and then we'll do a soft toss challenge. In this T challenge, I'm going to have Ryan come up and he's going to try to hit a ball off the tee to a certain location. It's going to be hit off the tee here, and if he gets his hands in a good palm up, palm down position, it should be able to be a line drive into his destination. Other teaches on this T challenge is if he pulls the ball, it's probably a tendency of pulling his front shoulder out or his head's flying out if he's hitting it more towards the third base side since he's a right-hander. If he's hitting it more to the second base or to the other side, he's probably letting the hands go and drop, and he's not letting his hands get in a proper position to hit the ball with squared shoulders, head on the ball, palm up, palm down. So this is a great indicator for the coach to get a kid on a tee, have a destination about 15, 20 feet away, and have him challenge, try to have him hit a certain spot in an area. You'll see this because we have a sock net from Jugs, and he's going to try to actually hit the ball into a hole. Okay, Ryan's going to attempt to hit the ball into the sock net hole. He hit that ball below the hole, probably not having palm up, palm down position proper. Again, hitting it down on the ground, possibly having his head fly out. I'm going to ask Ryan to keep his head right here on the tee and not even follow the flight of the ball after he swings. Okay, he's still coming down on the ball a little bit. We're trying to get it into that hole. Choker. We want to establish palm up, palm down at contact. Finding the middle of the ball, hitting a line drive, trying to hit a specific object. Right through the middle of that hole. Nice shot. Last one. Again, we're hitting off a tee here and we're having a purpose of trying to accomplish a task. And this makes it very task-oriented for the kids to try to accomplish, and they want to get out and try it because it's not just swinging off a tee and making contact. Now what I'm going to do is take the tee away and I'm going to feed Ryan soft toss, and he's going to try again to hit the ball in the right direction. He's going to try to hit it inside this hole of the sock net. He needs to position his hands properly to obtain this task. A palm up, palm down. If we can get our hands in the right position at contact, we can create more line drives and have a higher batting average and more team success. We'll take two more of these. Okay. Now, we can also go on from this. If we wanted a further distance, we could use our batting tunnels in our batting cage. What we would do there is have the tee or the soft toss person down at the end of home plate and have a goal of the team trying to hit the back net of the batting tunnel without hitting the top part of the net or the sides or the ground, hitting line drives, forcing them to get in a good palm up, palm down position. And we often do that in the cages, and that is a very successful and challenging thing for the student or the players to do. The arms. The arms are a vital part of your swing. They can help you get to a ball quicker to hit an inside fastball or make adjustments on the off-speed pitches. One common fault with the arms is having a hitter lock his front arm or his bottom hand on the bat. And what I mean by that is when they get ready to approach the ball and they start their swing, this front arm, for me, a lefty, would be my right hand, vice versa for the right-handed batter. But when I go to swing, I have my arm already in a locked, straight position. We don't want to do that. We want to have some elbow bend in our swing when we go back to get ready to hit with our arms. If I lock out, when I lock out and I go to swing, now I have what they call a sweeping swing in baseball, a long arcing swing. Because now, with my arm locking out, I have to bring everything around and outside to the middle of the hitting zone back to the inside part to hit an inside pitch. And that's what creates a slow bat and a lock, and that's something we have to alleviate with our hitters, because once they go up to higher levels, that inside fastball with a lock will be impossible to hit. Ryan's going to come in a moment. We're going to do some fence work that can be quick fixes for this hitter to find out what he's doing and how he can compensate to get into that inside pitch and not lock his arm. So we call these the fence drills. We're going to do them from the side and then also from the back. The first swing he's going to do is he's facing the net, and we're going to do net swings where he is going to try to go ahead and swing and not make contact with the fence. Okay, as you can see right there, now he'll go through a normal swing. He's going to have the hands lead to not be able to make contact with the fence. Now he might brush the fence, but go ahead and take a normal swing, Ryan. And that's a fine swing. As you heard a ting of the fence, obviously there's only about 12 inches of difference between his hands and the fence. Go ahead and do another one, Ryan. Now, that's a great swing to be able to hit the inside fastball. Now what we're going to do is show you, if the guy's locking, what happens. Ryan's going to take a swing with locking his front arm, and watch what happens with his bat up against the net. A lot of contact with the net slows him down, and you can tell instant feedback to the batter is he cannot get his hands to the ball quick enough. Go ahead and do this in slow motion. He locks, and now he has a long sweeping swing to get to that inside pitch to hit. Okay, one more in regular motion, a lock. Okay, and here's the difference. Here's the regular swing. Not much contact with the fence. Able to get to the fastball. Now what we're going to have Ryan do is he's going to turn around and look out at the field, and now he's going to swing and do the same drill without letting his barrel touch the fence when he goes forward. If he locks, obviously he's going to hit the back fence. If he doesn't lock and he leads with the elbow and keeps his front arm bent, he'll be able to swing and not touch this back side of this net. He missed it by probably 4 inches. Okay, one more swing there. Ryan is getting good elbow bend in his swing and no lock. Now I'm going to have him demonstrate a lock, and you'll be able to instantly teach your hitter what he's doing wrong, because now he's taking a long sweeping swing. As you can see, the contact with the fence, this is creating a very slow bat, and this is a great drill for not only arm lock, but for slow bats. Balance. One of the hardest things to not have to be successful in any sport. If I'm shooting free throws in basketball, if I don't have good proper balance, it's going to be hard for me to be accurate. In baseball, same thing. When I'm ready to hit, I need to have balance. How do we get that? Through repetition. We're going to do a drill here just in a second, and it's going to seem kind of odd. We're going to take a 2x4, and I'm going to feed soft toss to Ryan. Ryan's going to hit soft toss, but he's going to try to stay balanced on this board. This does not only balance, it helps him take a good straight stride to where he needs to go, be able to turn on it and not fall over on his front or in his front or in his back area. So he's going to have to swing with a good fluid motion right into the ball and create proper body balance. This will create a more successful hitter. Backside if he can. As you can notice, he's balancing. He is on a 2x4 and keeping good body balance and being able to stay on the 2x4 throughout his swing and his finish. Now, if Ryan had poor body balance and he liked to dive into the ball, here's what would happen after he swung. And he'd fall off the 2x4. So if you have a hitter that likes to fall towards the plate after swings, we'll show you one more of those. Here's a quick teach, get him on a 2x4. If he's a hitter that likes to have an uppercut or head fly out, watch what happens after contact. Falls backwards. So now I'm going to take you back to the correct swing. You can watch he is not flying out and he's not falling in towards the plate. Good body balance directly given back towards the pitching area. Last one. Great job. Thanks for watching this video. Hopefully the tools and techniques done in this will help you and be beneficial to your program. This video was one in a series of 5. I would like to thank Coach's Choice for the opportunity to do this video and wish you the best in baseball for years to come.